This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
So I want to thank you, Regina, for those beautiful words. It's by far the sweetest introduction that I ever had in my life, and I'm not worthy of what you were saying, but it's very much appreciated. And the biggest schus, to have satkanias like you and sadikim to learn with chaverim makshivim. Lori, Freddie, my wife and I, we go back a long way to the days on Jarvis Avenue, neighbors and children going up. And even though by car it's only a few minutes, and I used to walk back and forth every Shabbos the first year, but somehow it seems further away than it was 23, 24 years ago when we moved. This house is a place of Kedusha. Place where people who are seeking HaKadosh Baruch, where people who are growing come to daven, to learn. And I'm grateful to have the opportunity to come back here. And we should be Zeichem Mitzvah Hashem. We have a Kabbalah from the Holy Baditshev, that not only will the shuls and the Bati Midrashim be taken with Mashiach to Eretz Yisrael, but homes filled with Kedusha will also be able to, will be taken back to Eretz Yisrael. We'll have to find a nice place in Eretz Yisrael for such a home. And Mr. Shem, Eretz Yisrael will stretch and open up her arms to everybody. It was the beginning of Hanukkah. Where did Hanukkah begin? Where did it start? The way that we read the pasuk at the beginning of Chumash is Vayomer Elokim Hi'or Vayi'or. Hashem said there should be light, and there was light. Vayomer Elokim Hi'or Vayi'or. But the Chassidim have funny ways of reading pesukim. You know that. Even though we appreciate the simple pshat, but by the Chassidim, every single thing that is said is by way of crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Chassidim read the pasuk like this: Vayomer Elokim, and the Jew says, Elokim, Rebbeinu Shalom, Vayomer Elokim, Yihi'or, I beg of you that there should be light in my life. Vayihi'or, and Hashem answers that tefillah and gives us light. Vayomer Elokim, we're asking Rebbeinu Shalom for more light in our lives. As Regina was just saying, we're living in times we're surrounded by darkness. Any delusions that we entertained that the world has received us, any such delusions, any person with a little bit of intelligence and insight knows that even on the outside things look very, very good. On the inside, in many ways, it feels like 1939. So Chanukah, the Baruch Shalom answers us, and he says, Yihi'or, that's the beginning of Chanukah. The Shem Yisbach says to each and every one of us that there should be light in your life. So I want to talk about that. I want to begin with the story that I first said. I first told over this story by my oldest daughter's Sheva Brachas. Some of you might have heard this from me. There's some of the chaver from the shul that are here. It's a ma'aseh from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Many times the Baal Shem would just come into the Beis Medrash and he would point to a few of the chassidim and he would say to come with him. And he would take them on a trip. They never knew where they were going, but they were always taken someplace to learn something very, very profound. And there was a freezing, freezing cold day in the Ukraine. You remember when there used to be real winters? There was such a thing. freezing cold day in the Ukraine. And the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh went with the Chassidim, they went with a sled. And they didn't know where they were going. And they went someplace where there was a big lake. And it was frozen over. The whole lake was frozen over. And there was a common custom among the non-Jews at that time, maybe it's still something that they do, that at the time of their holidays, they go out to the ice skate, and hundreds of people are standing around this lake, and children were going in the middle of the ice, and they were skating, and they were carving into the ice crucifixes. And that was a common sport and pastime in those days. And the Baal Shem Tov wanted to see what was doing over there. Now the Chassidim knew that this is not anything that his holy eyes should ever see. And they said it's better not to go there. And the Baal Shem Tov insisted. He wanted to go see what's going on over there. Everybody's standing around the ice. And the Baal Shem Tov wanted to see. So they went. And even the goyim, they were very surprised to see the famous Baal Shem Tov. And the Baal Shem Tov got off of the sled, and he walked towards the ice, and the children were carving tzeilos on the ice. And the Baal Shem Tov was watching very intensely, and the Chassidim couldn't understand what this was about. And the Baal Shem Tov went into a place of dveikus. And this went on for a few minutes, and then he went back onto the sled, and they went back to Mezhbiz, they went back home. When they came to the Beis HaMedrash, the Chassidim asked the Baal Shem Tov Rebbe, what was that? And Avodah Zarah, and why was the Rebbe there, and why did he take us there? And the Baal Shem Tov said the following. The Baal Shem Tov said that there's nothing in the world that's more life-giving than water. Our existence comes from water. Everything. Everything grows. Everything lives because of water. But the Baal Shem said that it's only if the waters are warm and they're flowing and they're moving. But what happens when the waters become frozen? He said, then it's only a matter of time until Avodah Zarah, idolatry, is carved into the ice. And he explained that when a child comes into the world, the parents are filled with such unbelievable love for the child. And the waters of that relationship between the parents and the child are flowing and they're warm. But then often what happens is that as years go by, the winter sets in and those waters become frozen. And then the Baal Shem Tov said it's a matter of time until that love becomes a place of anger, of rejection, of pain. Chasna Kala stand under the chuppah. They could barely pay attention to the Masada Kedushin. They're so focused on each other. All their hopes, all their dreams of the future, the parents, grandparents, friends, family. But so many of these relationships, the Baal Shem Tov said, over time they become frozen. And then where there was once love, there's anger and there's pain. The crucifix is carved into the ice. Because once there's ice, anything can happen. And so it is with the Borei Olam, with the creator of the world. When we're young, children, davening, cheshek and excitement for a yontiv comes Chanukah. I was thinking about what Chanukah meant to me when I was in first grade and second grade. Before cynicism set in, it's just in that place of being a little boy, tamimus, the tamimus of childhood and yeshiva and the excitement, and I was thinking about some of the songs we used to sing. There was an old rabbi that would sit at the piano and bang away at the piano, and he was always yelling at us to sing in harmony. Me and Hallel grew a rose, yes, me and Hallel grew a rose, me and Hallel. And then somehow over the years, things freeze. You know, in the Svarim, we're taught that there are two types of Gehenna. I never speak about Gehenna, but just to make this point, there are two types of Gehenna. The one that we're familiar with, or what we heard about, is that there's a Gehenna shel Eish, of fire. The Nefesh HaChaim, Sulas HaYonah, says that, of course we're not talking about a physical fire, but things that we do, averus, Hashem Yirachem, that we do with the fire. So there's a Gehenna, there's a way that Hashem repairs and refines these mistakes, what we've done in our lives, through this, which is called the Gehenna of fire. But the Sfarim say there's another Gehenna, it's called the Gehenna shel Shelig, a Gehenna of snow, a Gehenna of ice. And that Gehenna is not after a person leaves this world at 120. It's a Gehenna of relationships that are frozen, of davening that is frozen, feelings that have become icy. The Svarim say that the gematria of Ner Chanukah, without the Vav, Chas Nun Chaf He, that the gematria of Ner Chanukah is Sheleg, snow. Because our ability to overcome the iciness of the Gehenim Shel Sheleg, especially in Tavshin Ayin Vav, these last few minutes before Mashiach comes, our ability to overcome that Gehenim Shel Sheleg depends on Chanukah. Chanukah is the last yontiv that the Bara Olam gave us, when he gave us that last kiss to the Navi Malachi, and he said, Zichru Toras Moshe. So the last Navi, and he told us to hold on, Kindlech, it's going to be a long Golus. It's going to be cold in Golus. And Hashem Yisbach gave us the last yontiv of Chanukah. And the tzaddikim reveal a remarkable thing about Chanukah. You know that every single one of the mitzvahs, mitzvahs asay, and the mitzvahs lo asay, positive, negative, they correspond to different parts of our body, right? So the 613, 248, 365, positive commandments, negative commandments, that correspond to all of the parts of our body. And this Rambam say that, for instance, through the mitzvah of tefillin, which are worn across from the heart, one is able to repair somehow the heart, the eyes. And every mitzvah, and the Sfarim talk about how each mitzvah, unfortunately many of the mitzvahs we can't keep now because we don't have Beis HaMikdash, but how each mitzvah has the koach to bring health to a different part of who we are, to a specific part of our bodies. But then there's Chanukah. And regarding Chanukah, the tzaddikim say, the pasuk is alluding to, and it says, Ner Hashem nishmas adam, chayfeis kol chadre batan. Ner Hashem nishmas adam. The tzaddikim reveal that Chanukah, which is called Ner Hashem, doesn't bring just a healing to a part of us, like the other mitzvahs. But rather, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. Chanukah candle, the Chanukah candles bring a refuah and a yeshua. Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, to the very essence of the person. to the whole being, which means the entirety of the person is healed. If you and I make proper use of Chanukah, it has the ability not only to cure a particular problem in our lives, but to reach the very core of who we are. Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. Chayfes Kol Chadvei Batim. It's amazing, because everybody knows that Chanukah was a long time after the Torah was given. As I said, it's the last Yontif that we have. It's the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. And yet, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam is Chanukah. More than Sukkah, more than Lulav, more than Shofar, more than Shabbos. The Rambam has a lashon regarding Chanukah. He doesn't write anywhere else such a lashon. Mitzvah sneir Chanukah, mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'oid. What does the word mean, chaviva? Beloved, precious. Mitzvah sneir Chanukah, doesn't say about Ner Shabbos. Doesn't say about tzitzis, tiln, Shabbos, yantiv. Mitzvah sneir Chanukah, mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'oid. And you see that Jews, even Jews who are far, far removed from Yiddishkeit, and who do not feel a connection to any of the other mitzvahs, not by their chas v'shalom, it's not their fault, they don't know, and they weren't taught, but Chanukah is something, Chanukah. Something to connect to Chanukah. And it's not, God forbid, because of the Goyish Yontif, because of the crosses and the ice. Chanukah, somehow a Jew mysteriously feels that is the last thing that he's holding on to. And it is. Many years ago, I was a big kanoi. I calmed down over the years. But I was a big kanoi. I remember I was with my parents in the car, my sister and myself in the car, and we were driving someplace. And there were a lot of these electric menorahs, you know, plastic electric menorahs in the window, and I start to make fun that it did not yoytze with it, did not yoytze. And my father looked at me, he says, What are you talking? Yotze, not yotze. These are not religious people, but they look what they want. They want to be able to have Chanukah. They want to say that we are not those who have trees. We are Jews. You know, Pesach means also Posach means to step over, means to dance. And the Rebbe Moshe Lipsasevich says Pesach Hashem Kolbate Yisrael, right? Hashem jumped over the Jewish homes in Mitzrayim, but Rav Moshe Lipsasevich said that the Baruch Shalom, when he was crossing over Mitzrayim, when he came to a Jewish home, he would stop and he would do a rikud, he would do a dance by a Jewish home. Pesach Hashem Abate B'nei Yisrael. In this house there lives a Jew. In this house there lives a Jew who wants the whole world to know like they eat. With everything throughout all the years of Golus, I remain a Jew. He doesn't know what that means exactly, but he wants to be a Jew. Chanukah has such an unbelievable koyach. If it's called Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, it means that even a person who, God forbid, feels that he can't go on living. Chanukah is Hamachazir Nishomas Lefgarenes. It returns the soul to one who feels that Imamish is no longer alive, who feels that he can't live anymore. You know, I talk all the time to people who are 17, 18, 19 years old who don't want to live. This past period of time, there were young people in our community who are no longer living, who were alive 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. You know that our schools, our yeshivas, are filled with young people who don't know why they're living. The older people, I'm not even talking about. So how does Chanukah have this power? How does Chanukah have the koyach to thaw the icy world that we live in our relationships between us and Hashem Yisbarach, between each other, husbands, wives, brothers, sisters? You know, there are brothers and sisters who don't talk to each other. I know situations, I remember growing up, where there were people who went through the Holocaust, who were in concentration camp, and they didn't speak to each other after the Muhammad. people for whom it's a nice that they're alive. And you have a brother, you have a sister in the world, and they're not talking to each other. Parents, children who don't talk to each other. Or even when they talk to each other, it's mamish, ice. The koishi, a good Shabbos, a good yontif. So the page that you have, I don't know, I didn't make enough copies, but the page that you have, you could share with one of your chavetas. The page opens up the mystery of Chanukah. We did a little bit of this last week when we had the shiur that Regina was talking about. It's from the Sefer Asich B'chukecha, from one of the great tzaddikim of our times. Many of you probably didn't hear of him. Rav Avram Tzvi Kluger, Zolgazon Zayn, is a very big mashpia who lives in Beit Shemesh. And the tzaddik brings a very famous Torah from the Holy Baal Shem. And I dafka wanted you to see it inside. Oisius Machkimais. It's only part of a longer Torah, a little piece. But let's learn it. I know that you're able to learn things inside, and it's better to see something with our eyes. So let's learn it together. It'll take 5 minutes, and then I'll explain. There's a yesod. There's a very fundamental teaching that we have from the Holy Baal Shem. She'inyin ha'golus mevate richuk upirud. Golus, the Baal Shem Tov taught, doesn't only mean when Jews are not in Eretz Yisrael. Golus means any time that a person is separated or apart from the one with whom he belongs together. Any state of separation, of distance, that I was talking about before, that's called Golus. By Kabbalah Shabbos, by Lechad Daidi, we ask Hashem Friday night, Karva, what? Karva al Nafshi Ga'ala. Karva al Nafshi Ga'ala. And the whole Kabbalah Shabbos is about Chasna Kala, about Kudshe Brich Hu and Knesset Yisrael, Hashem and the Jewish people, Chasna Kala, that we've gone apart over the years. That's Golus. So asking Hashem is Baruch, Karva al Nafshi Ga'ala. Shinin Golus Mavate Richuk Upirud, Kasha. Chashach Oilama Sheyehudi. When the world of a person, when a person's life has become darkened. V'nister menu mitzius Hashem Isbarach. And the mitzius of Hashem, of course, officially and intellectually, he knows that God exists. But God's existence has become very irrelevant to the person. It doesn't fill his life. Shenoyfil bekatnas. And because of that, the person is in a state of katness, of smallness. Meroyiv hatlos v'tirdos azman. That because of all of the difficulties, the tirdos azman, parnosa, raising a family, v'chulu v'chulu. That's golus. Golus is the ice, is the Gehenim shel Shelag. Ugeula, and what's geula? So the Maharal in Netzach Yisrael already pointed this out, that the word Geula, the Shoresh of course is Gimel Aleph Lamed, and Geula, which is Golus, which is Gimel Lamed He. The only letter, there's only one letter that really separates between Gaol and Galo, which is the Aleph, right? Geula has the letter Aleph. Otherwise, the letters are the same. They share the same letters. Geula and Gaol, Geula, Gala, Golus. But that's a very big difference, that Aleph. Ugeula hi he'ares Aleph b'soif Geula. What does redemption mean? Redemption is overcoming the state of Golus, the Gehenim shel Shelag. Redemption means When the Aleph returns to your life. And the Aleph is the Alufu Shel Olam. The Aleph is the Creator, the Master of the World. Adoin Olam, Elokim. Sha'afal pi sheterem ha'isi yitzi elagamri min ha'meitzer ha'goyla. That means that even while the person is still in a difficult situation, there are still problems, let's say between the parents and the children, between a husband and a wife, there are problems that haven't yet been resolved. Between a person and a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we have questions, we have difficulties, and the person still is in a place where there's galus. He hasn't yet left galus completely. He hasn't yet emerged from the darkness to light. Ach mikol makom, nevertheless, oyse ha'ara mu'ata ashabo toich achoyshech v'amitzarim. But the most unbelievable thing is when the person is in a place of galus, of galo, gimel lamed hey, and the issues have not yet been resolved, and there are difficulties. But in that state of galus, there's a ha'ara mu'ata. There's a little bit of hope. There's a little bit of light that shines into that overall difficult situation. That in the state of choshech that you're in this narrow place that you're in, the meitzarim, bebchinas batzar herchavtali, David HaMelech said, batzar herchavtali. Do you remember the kapitel everybody knows at the beginning of Tehillim? David HaMelech is saying his mizmor l'David, Baruch Mei Avshalom Beno. He sings a song when he's running away from his son Avshalom. And Chazal asked the obvious question. What's the question Chazal asked? Mizmor l'David, kina l'David. It should be a mizmor, it's a song. It's a kina, it's Tisha B'Av. Your son is trying to kill you. And you remember Chazal's answer is very shocking. Only a Jew could understand such a thing. But Chazal said that David HaMelech was saying, look, I know this is a bit. I'm in a bad place. This is very bad. This is very bad that my son has instigated a rebellion against him and he's seeking my life. I understand this is bad. But Batsar, in this terrible, terrible darkness of my life, hechavdali. What's the hachava? What's the expansiveness? That at least I know with all of my heart that when my son kills me, he'll have some rachmanis. It'll happen quickly. Now that's a strange thing to say. But when David HaMelech said that, he was speaking for each and every one of us and to each and every one of us. And he said the following. That Tzar Hechavtali means that a person has the koiches, a Jew, has the koiches to survive any darkness. Kol choshech lo yachshech. A Jew has such koiches. As long as in that matzav that he's in the tzar, in that narrow, terrible place that he's in, he's able to see a sparkle of God's presence that's saying to him, Ki lo ye'ezavcha, I'm still with you. I still care about you. Why you're going through this, that's not something that I could explain to you now, and that's not something that you're able to hear now. Maybe later on. Maybe after this life. But as long as there's a tiny little opening, a person can grab onto that. So David HaMelech said, Batsar, Rabbeinu Shlomo, I want to thank you. Why there's so much darkness in my life, that you know David HaMelech suffered through great darkness. Why there's so much darkness in my life, I believe that you're good. But unless I see a little bit, just a little bit of a hint, a little bit of a wink, a little bit of a Hanukkah candle in the darkness, I can't continue. I simply can't because it's suffocating me. I'm drowning in the darkness. I can't continue like this. There has to be some point of light, some point of warmth in the winter. That is the Aleph. He Aleph HaMeir Uba Toich Goyla V'Naaseis Geula. That is the Aleph of the Aluf Shalom, the master of the world, who for the person who is looking, for the person who believes in Hashem, finds that Aleph Batsar Herchavtali in the situation that he is in, that she is in, to find that candle, that light, even if it's tiny, that little bit of Hashem reminding you, Kiloya Ezavcha, that I haven't abandoned you and I never will let go of you. Achastiv v'le arpanu. Shlomo HaMelech says, I hold on to you, I won't let go. It says in Shir Hashirim, Dodi sholach yodo man hachor. My beloved reached his hand out through the opening, there's a hole, and he reached his hand out. Where everything is mamash closed, but a Jew finds that opening. And Dodi, my beloved, sholach yodo man hachor. Uchadehevi atoldus. Looking aside. As the Toldus Yaakov Yosef, the first sefer that we have from the Torah of Baal Shem is the Toldus Yaakov Yosef. The Toldus writes, Kashikibalti mimari shebechol tzar ha'odam begashmi baruchni. I received from my Rebbe from the Baal Shem Tov that any suffering, any anguish, or difficulty that a person is going through, whether it's in Gashmias or Nuchnias, Shem nois in leiv, that if he gives his heart, if he pays close attention, Shagam bezat sar, even in that sa'ar that he's in, Shagam bezat sar, while Hashem is baruch ba'atzmai. Hashem is baruch ba'atzmai, ba'atzmai is in that sar. If you are no sane lev, you will see that. Elishu derech levush, however, it's Hashem enclosed in such a way that only a person who is seeking him will see that. The kasha noidloi zeh, and when the person realizes this, husar halavush, that disguise of Hashem is removed. When there's batl hatzar, and then even though the situation is not, overall, it's not good, but as long as I know that he's there and he cares about me, when there's batl hatzar, then I'll go through anything. V'chol gzeiris rov, an all terrible gzeiris, v'herich b'zeh, and the Rebbe, the Baal Shem, spoke a great deal about this. V'kasha shamati mimeno gam kein inin hei alfin, and there's a very deep reason why it is that in the Oz Yashir there are five consecutive alephs. Aleph always means, it's always hinting to Hashem, but it was enclosed in the fear that we had running from the Egyptians. And there it says, Omar, Oyev, Erdov, Asig, Achalek, Shalom. That when Mitzrayim was chasing after us, Omar, Oyev, the enemy said, Erdov, I will pursue them and catch up to them and destroy them and so on. So on the outside, if a person is stuck, if he's glued to the ice, all he hears and all he sees is the terrible, terrible gloom and doom of the Mitzrayim who are seeking to destroy us. Just as people nowadays who can't put away their iPhones, who can't put away the news for 5 minutes because they're waiting to see the latest stabbing that took place, Hashem Yirachem, to see some more terrible news and to enclose themselves in such darkness. And then to say words that are words that do not befit, they're not becoming a Jew, but what could be, what's going to be, or to say, b'derech ha-teva, nothing can change, these are words that are words of kfir. But a Jew who has eyes, and Chanukah is the time that our eyes are repaired, ein lana reshus l'shtamesh b'hem, ela l'raisim b'lvad, to see. The Yevanim hechshichu einayim sheyisal, the Yevanim, the way of Greece is to darken our eyes. But when there are lichtige eyes, Jewish eyes, are able to see that in those words, that are terrible words, that the enemy was chasing us, there are five aleves. And that's a deep inyan why there are five aleves. In the parasha that we read yesterday, there's an even more remarkable sequence of aleves, which he doesn't bring here. But vayomu ish el achiv, that the brothers say to each other, and here there are seven consecutive aleves. Listen, then it says ish aleph el achiv to his brother. Aval, however, ashemim, all alephs, we are guilty. Anachnu asher ra'inu, that we saw tzaras nafshay, our brother's tzar Yosef bischanu elenu, and he was crying out to us, v'lo shamanu. Because at that moment, the brothers, the Shvatim, felt that they couldn't possibly be any lower in the world. They felt disgusting. After all of these years, they finally came to that truth on their level. And they saw themselves as being so far. Far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, far from who they were supposed to be. And in those words of self-recrimination and pain, there are seven olives, which is alufa shel olam. Im kein, zehu ikra ha-shevach v'ha-shirish ha-yusoyev v'magorlis Mitzrayim shu oyev. What's the most painful thing in a person's life? We know we have enemies. And we know who our enemies are. There's Esav, there's Yishmael. The worst thing in the world is when it seems to you that Chalila, the one who created you, is your enemy. That's the worst thing in the world. When the one who you were taught to love and trust, you feel has turned against you. That's what happens with many marriages and many families. That's the worst, most painful thing in the world. And now when they were crossing through Yam Suf, Am Yisrael realized that the one who we began to feel over the years was an oyev, was, God forbid, our enemy. He's our ohev. He's the one who loves us. It's true. So, batzar hechavteli. V'zo atzmu sagula. And that itself is redemption. Because redemption means when a Jew knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has never left him, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not his oyev, he's his ohev. And even taking that into a situation with families and relationships in a family, so there could be a terrible, difficult situation between a husband and wife, but as long as there's still that batzahir chavtali, as long as there's still that little bit of a candle, a little bit of a Chanukah light that says, I love you, with everything, with all of the misunderstandings and all of the fights and all the narishkeit of the years, I'm not your oyev, I'm your ohev. So that the person can put his koiches together and he could melt the ice of his life, even though there are many things that haven't yet been fixed. That's when a person crosses over from Golus to Geula. So that's why every Shabbos we say, because during the 6 days of the week we often feel so far from Hashem, that Chalila, that Hashem is like, God forbid, like it says in Eicha, like an enemy. But when we come to Shabbos, we carve al nafshi ga'ala, hisnari mi'ofa kumi, livshi bigde sefatech an, lo'y se voyshi v'lo'y se kal, not to give up. Because then we're able to hear a baskal of Hashem saying, Ahavti Yisrael. During the week it's hard to hear, it's so noisy, it's so busy, it's so crazy. But on Shabbos, a person who's trying to hear can still hear. B'chol Odom b'chol Zman. B'usoyd Golos Mitzrayim, Shiesh b'chol Odom b'chol Zman, Min ha-meitza karosi ka. And that's the soid, that's the secret of the Golos of Mitzrayim that every person goes through in his life and her life. And from Golos we call out, Min ha-meitza karosi ka. I'm looking for a sign of you in this Meitzah that I am in. But Tzar Hechavteli, Hashem, you answered me. And even though I'm still in a hard situation, but you have shown your presence to me, and now I can go on. Shezo ha-Geula atzmai v'havein. Because that's Geula itself, and understand this. Uchidivei Rabbeinu HaKadosh, as it was taught by Rabbi Nachman, Schus Yigaleinu. Rabbi Nachman taught Shagama, Filu Batzar Vatzma, Hashem is Baruch Marachiv Lanu. That even when a person is in a difficult situation in the Tzar itself, Hashem expands and opens up a place for us. Ki im yistakel ha'odam al chazde Hashem, if a person looks carefully at Hashem's kindness, Yirisha Filu Beish, Hashem is Baruch Meitzalot, then he will see that even when Hashem is putting him through a hard time, because Hashem has a cheshem, why that is, we don't know. But Hashem is putting him through a hard time. Even then, Gam Bat Sar Ba'atzma, Hashem is Baruch Marachiv Lohi. Hashem is Baruch is Marachiv Lohi. There's a sign of his presence through of kindness. It could be a small little thing where a person says, I'll give an example or two later in a minute, where the person sees that Hashem is here with me in this place. He hasn't forgotten me. Umagdil chazda imai. Zeh batzar hechavtali, Rabbi Nachman says, that's the meaning of batzar hechavtali, based upon the Torah of his great-grandfather, the Baal Shem Tov. I know, I feel a b'soichat tzara ba'atzma, even in the tzara itself. You have given me expansiveness. You have given me a candle. You have given me a sense of your being with me, even in this difficult situation. Of course, we're waiting, and we daven that Hashem should take us out of all the tzaras completely. It should only be good. It should be everything. Should be good. However, even in the tzara itself, Hashem is marchiv lana. Those are the words of Rabbi Nachman. And the tzaddik here concludes, whatever a Jew goes through in his life, Shemea Yehudi Baskal, a Jew is able to hear a voice coming from Hashem. Halocheshes ba'ozno, that whispers into his ear. Behold, Tzerosam loitzah. Whatever suffering, whatever difficulty, whatever hardship you're going through, Hashem says, I'm here with you and I feel this as well. Ubizman shodim etztar, the Gemara says, Shechina ma'loshna meres, that when a Jew is suffering, and this Gemara is not talking about a fine person. The Gemara is talking about somebody who had to be killed by Bezdin. It's not so pashut. And still, Hashem Yisbaruch says, Kalani miroishi, that when you and I have a headache, when we're not feeling well, it means that Hashem is saying about Himself, Kalani Miroishi, whatever that means, that Hashem holds His hand on His head and says, Kalani Miroishi, my head is hurting me. Kalani Mizroi, when your arm is hurting you. Kalani Mizroi, Hashem's Baruch's arm is hurting him. And this ignites within the person a light from the hidden light of creation, of an Asalei Bechinas Geula, and suddenly he's able to feel that he can continue. He feels redemption. He feels like Hashem is giving him nechama. Hashem imcha, ki'ilu Hashem is saying to him. These are the words of Rabbi Nachman. Hashem imcha, Hashem is with you. Val tira, don't be afraid. Val tefached, val techas, don't be afraid. Ki hu yisbarach imcha ve'eslecha, Hashem is with you and next to you. Ve'karv lecha mamish, near you mamish. U'beherazu niskayim etzlo b'chines karv el navshi ge'ola. And when a person believes this and he sees this and he's able to detect, even in his difficult situation, Hashem's love and Hashem's kindness in that masiv that he's in, then is v'yoytze ma'afela lo'erv mishiba gulugul. He's able to leave the darkness to light and mishiba the slavery to redemption. Ki nizbar lo shetoich oimek ha'hester. Once the person sees that in this terrible, in the depths of the Hester that I'm living in, of this concealment, Bechinis Kra Godel Sheberoimi, like in Rome, that's talking about Chazal, I'm not going into right now, Mistata Alufa Shaloylam. The master of the world is hidden in that place, V'hagoyla, and then suddenly, the gullus of your life, Nesta Gula becomes Gula. That's the greatest Nechama that a person can have. Nachamu, Shabbos Nachamu, Nachamu is the Rosh Tevis, Ne'er Chanukah Moisif V'hoylam. Ner Chanukah Moisif V'Hoylech. Let's go back to the beginning. How is it that Chanukah brings such a healing? That Hashem Yisbaruch gave us as the last gift, Chanukah Geld, before we went into Galus, the last obvious gift, the last Yontiv of Chanukah, to carry us through all of the difficult years that we would have as a people and as individuals. Everybody here knows there's a famous teaching from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, Zichron Levracha, how when Yosef HaTzadik was taken down to Mitzrayim, normally at that place, at that time, the kind of wagons that were going by would be selling skin or those kind of merchants, the tanneries that had terrible, terrible smell. But Yosef HaTzadik, Hashem Yisbarach sent him a special, unusual thing, that there was a wagon that was, there were merchants that were selling perfumes, right? So I'm sure that when you first heard that chazal, you felt the way that I did, And the way the Reb Chaim Shmulevitz felt. The feeling is, Reb Shalom, you want to do me a taiva? So keep your perfumed wagons for yourself. And let me stay home with my parents, you know. I'd like to stay home. So his brothers wanted to kill him. Then they sell him. And he's heading down to Mitzrayim, Mamish to Mitzrayim, to Minah Mitzrayim. And Chazal revealed to us, it was gewaldige mazel that Hashem Yisbarach sent him, Ashgach HaProtis, he sent him like a first class, you know, to go first class. He didn't go coach, he went first class down to Mitzrayim. It was a very nice perfumed wagon. Many, many years ago, my father was sharing with me a story about how when he was in the cattle car on his way to Mauthausen, that there was a tzaddik there, and they were going, and it was a Friday night. My father said that he never had such a Kabbalah Shabbos. This tzaddik led the davening. Half the people already were dead. And this tzaddik was davening. My father said, never heard such a davening. He never heard such a davening in his life. And he had such a hischazkus from that davening of the tzaddik on the way to Mauthausen. So I didn't like that story. I was 11 years old at the time, and I didn't like the story. But it took me a while till I got the nerve to ask my father about the story. And I asked him, Daddy, whatever happened to that tzaddik that sang such a beautiful chadaydi that Friday night in the cattle car? So my father said, he didn't make it. And what happened to the oilam over there in the cattle car? Baruch Hashem, you made it out, but what happened to the rest of the oilam? How many of the oilam over there from that Gevaldigil Kabbalah Shabbos, how many of them survived? So my father said, I know a few, two or three, I don't know. So I said to my father that I don't understand what's so beautiful about that story that you told me. Same question, Yosef HaTzadik goes in a perfumed car. So my father goes in a cattle car, and instead of perfumes, there's a tzaddik singing a nice l'chadoidi. My father didn't really explain to me until it came time for me to put on tefillin. I told this maize once or twice in shul. My father would be very upset with me that I tell it publicly, but I have. So if you see him, please don't tell him that I told this story. He doesn't lie. He's very, very, very tzanua. My daughter is here, Shifi, and she'll tell you that my father is a big tzaddik. He's very, very tzanua. But he told me this story. And this is what Hanukkah is all about. I'm sure I'm going over time. They have like another 5-10 minutes. Okay, I don't know. That's the. I'm sure the Hanukkah party is that you have to get ready for. So anybody who has to leave, you should, sure, I don't feel bad. You should just, it's okay. So when it was time for me to put on film, it was a month before my bar mitzvah, and it was time for me to put on film, I was very excited. I had a brand new pair of film that we bought by the Sofer in Williamsburg. I was all excited to put them on and to go to shul. And my father said, first, before we go to shul, I want you to come with me. Okay, I went my father to his room, and he took out his tefillin, and he said, first put on my tefillin. I said, why should I put on your tefillin? I'm a lefty, Daddy, you're a righty. My father said, doesn't make a difference. It's not, you're not bar mitzvah, just put on my tefillin. Okay, so I put on my father's tefillin. And while I was sitting there with his tefillin on, he said, now listen to me about what you asked me 2 years ago. Now listen to me. He said, my father said that when he was being taken away by the Hungarian army, as the young men in his town were being taken away there, he believed, like the other friends of his from the yeshiva, he believed that they were going to go for a short time because the war was winding down. They heard the Americans were coming and the Russians were coming and things were winding down. My grandfather, who I'm named after, Hashem should avenge his blood, my grandfather took my father, they went to the station where the boys were being taken away to Hungarian, to the forced labor at the beginning. And my grandfather said to my father, this is what my father was telling me while I was sitting there with the film, my father said that his father told him that we're not going to see each other again in this world. And my father said, why are you saying such things? The war is finishing up. We'll see each other. My grandfather said, it's not true. It's not true. And we know that after we're all going to be taken away, we're going to be killed. My grandfather said to my father, but you make sure you put on your tefillin every day. And as long as you put on your tefillin every day, no matter what you're going through, then you will see that Hashem will take care of you, and then when you're 120, we'll see each other again. My father said he was crying, why are you talking this way? And that was the last time my father saw his father. And he put on his tefillin every day. The tefillin, there are places that it's written up about this tefillin, that there were tefillin in Mauthausen. I don't know how my father was able to hide them and how he kept them. Not only did he put on these tefillin every day in Mauthausen, but there were thousands of Jews who risked their lives, because if you get caught, you get killed the second you get caught with tefillin. They would make circles, and each one would take my father's tefillin quickly, shmeis al shamakin shamachadit, give the tefillin to somebody else. Years ago, there was somebody who wanted to buy from the museum in Yerushalayim, who wanted to buy these tefillin. They heard about the Mauthausen tefillin and wanted to give a lot of money. My father said, there's no money in the world for these tefillin. My father told all of this to me while I was wearing the tefillin, and my father said to me the following. Twice, while he was in Mauthausen, the Germans all of a sudden came in, screaming with dogs, yelling and hitting everybody. It was early in the morning, and after they had slept just a few hours on the planks, and the Germans, Yimach Shalom, came in there and beating everyone and screaming them, Aros, Aros, out, out, out. And my father got very scared. No. And he grabbed his tefillin, he put him under his shmatas to hold the tefillin. The Germans were screaming. They thought they were going to be taken to be killed. What the Germans wanted to do is they were burning down the bunks, some of the bunks, because they were so infested. The Germans were worried about themselves getting infected. So they burned down the bunks, and they were taking the Jews to spray them with some spritz to delouse them or something, to disinfect them, whatever. So it was freezing cold, and they're screaming at them to get out, and they're running out. And my father didn't know what to do because he saw what was happening, because there was another place that was already on fire. And he says, if he leaves the tefillin in there, they're going to burn the tefillin. He didn't know what to do. So my father said that he put the tefillin in his shmatas. They told him to undress. And he didn't know what to do. There was a huge pit, and there was a tractor that was taking all of the shmatas and putting them in to burn them also, the pajamas, to burn them in the fire. My father didn't know what to do, so he wrapped the tefillin inside, and he said, this is it, I'm finished. Because he was holding on to this tefillin. He believed that was his life. And he just said goodbye to them. And he didn't know what they were going to do, whether they were going to get killed or whatever. And they took them, they disinfected them. In the meantime, the tractor had pushed everything into the hole, into this huge pit, and they poured, and they set it on fire. And my father came back. They were screaming at them, they were running back. And he looked down, and he saw the only thing that was there was his tefillin. Hundreds of shmatas, everything, and he had wrapped it in the, and everything was gone except the tefillin. It happened twice, my father said. So my father told me that I don't have an answer of why I went through what I went through, or what mommy went through, and what happened to our parents and all of your ancestors. I don't have an answer to those questions, and I don't need it. But my father said, but I could tell you this, that I saw Hashem was with me. And when I saw the tefillin, I felt Hashem's Baruch Hu was saying to me, Marcha'ayin, keep on pushing. Don't give up. That's what Chanukah is. When we come to the Yontif of Chanukah, each and every one of us, if we still have Jewish hearts that are beating in a pulse, so we also are able to find the Pach Shem. And what does it mean that they found a little jar of oil, such a big thing over a jar of oil? Which, you know, according to Halacha, they didn't have to even find that. They could have lit candles without that. Such a big to-do about a jar of oil. It doesn't have to be a big thing. When a husband and wife are having a fight with each other and it's not going well, but if there's a little bit of a Pach Shemen, a little bit of a jar of oil, that miracle can keep the marriage together and can give them hope that they could build something better. My wife had a wonderful custom. When the children were little, she would send them off to school with their lunch bags, and she would always make little notes and smileys and things on the lunch bag. You know, when the kid's in school, I mean, sometimes it's good, but a lot of times they don't feel so good, you know, in school. They're not feeling so happy, they want to be home. Jews were not really meant to be in institutions. Schools, the whole need of a school is a big bedevit. Jews are meant to be, especially girls, meant to be with their mothers. Not with someone else's mother. It's interesting how other people's mothers don't always act to them the same way that their own mothers treat them. It's an interesting thing. But we understand that. But they really want to be with their mothers. So you know, you take out your lunch and you see there's a little smiley, and mommy writes something there, I love you. That's a Pach Shemen. You understand? That's a little jar of oil. That's what Chanukah is. Chanukah is that amazing reminder that Hashem Baruch said to us that I haven't forgotten you. What the inyan is that you're going through, the galus that you're in, achein nistarim darchei Hashem. Hashem's ways are very, very mysterious. But everything is good. And we believe that. But unless you can find a tzar, a point of a candle, an aleph, inside the galus, unless a husband and wife can see that, unless a child can see that, in his life, in her life, unless you could see Chanukah gives back the neshama. It's not a big thing, Chanukah. It's all minhagim. These little minhagim that we have, the songs, the smells, a dreidel. And you know what? If you believe in Chanukah, even if you keep on getting your shin, you can still manage. Because there are a lot of shins you can get in life. I know good people that have gotten a lot of shins in life. But as long as you believe, and you're able to see that nekuda of light, then Batsahir Khaftali. Let me end by sharing with you a story, and I'm sorry for keeping you so light. This is one of my favorite stories. So again, it could be that many of you know it, and I apologize, but stories are okay to repeat. Rabbi Nachman used to say that by the Goyim they tell stories to put the children to sleep, but by Jews we tell stories to keep the children awake. Stories keep us awake. There was a Meiser from Rabbi Mendel Vizhnitzer, Susi Yelin, the Tzemach Tzadik. Not the Tzemach Tzadik, Tzemach Tzadik is Lubavitch. The Tzemach Tzadik was the Vizhnitzer Rebbe, Rabbi Mendel Vizhnitzer. So Mendel Vizhnitzer, when he was a young man, before he was married, he already knew that his job was to heal broken souls. And many tzaddikim, as you know, they would go into galus. They would be disguised and they would go around and to see what Jews were going through. Because they oftentimes were raised in royalty and they went to see and to be with other people. so they'd be able to feel what the pain the Jews were living with. We know that Rabbi Melech and his brother Rabbi Zushin, the Vilna Gaon, they were tzaddikim, they went in Galus. There's many stories. So they said Tzemach Tzadik and Melovinitsa also went into Galus. And he was disguised as a schnorrer that was going to collect, and he was a little bit odd, and he made himself look strange, and he acted strange. And there was a town that he would come to where people didn't want really to let him in. They would give him something, but they wouldn't invite him in because he didn't look like he was a person you wanted inside. So there was a place that he would come to in a tiny little village. And on the outskirts of the village, there was a home that he would go to every year when he made his sivuv. And he came to this place, and there was a beautiful little girl. A little girl there. Her name was Rivka. And this little girl saw somehow in Reb Mendel who he really was. Her parents didn't. They didn't allow him into the house, but she would take a little toy table that she had and toy chairs from her doll set, and she would go with a kettle and she would bring him out. He would sit down on his little toy chair and she would bring him out and give him something, serve him some tea and bring him some zainus or something. And this happened a few times. And finally, Mendel Vinicius said, "Listen, Rivka, I'm not going to be able to come back here anymore." And she says, "Why?" He says, "I'm not able to. It's time for me to move on. I have to get married. But I'll never forget your kindness." And she said, "I'll never forget you." And he left her. He married, of course. He married to the Rizhna. Mendel Vizhnitsa became a big, big, big rabbi. Many years had passed. In the meantime, this beautiful little girl grew into a beautiful young lady, but she had become over the years very sick. She was paralyzed. And she couldn't walk. And the parents had taken to all different doctors. They went to Vienna and to Prague. They couldn't help her. And for a while, she was asking her parents, "Could we go to Vizhnitsa? There's Reb Mendel Vizhnitsa. And I'm sure that that's my friend Reb Mendel from when I was a little girl." And the parents said to her, "Rivka, that Michiganer that used to come here, the Schnorrer, that's not the Rebbe, Reb Mendel Vizhnitsa." She says, "That's my Mendel." But they ignored this. But this was going on for a while, and no doctor could help her. So finally her mother said to her father, "What does it hurt? So why can't we go to Tzadik for Bracha? So what does it hurt?" So they decided that they were going to take her. It was a mahalach, and they went. As they were getting close to Vizhnitz, of course, this was not anywhere on Facebook or Twitter, you understand? So Mendel Vizhnitz had no way of knowing about any of this. But after Marv, Mendel Vizhnitz said to his Gaba, I need for you to get something for me, to go and bring me a toy table with two toy little doll chairs." Now, Gaboim from Rebbe's are used to doing strange things, but this was really, really different. So he says, "Quickly, we're having," and he told all the chassidim after Marv, "we're having a very chashuv guest after Marv." So he runs out and finds the Rebbe told him to leave it in the side. And the Rebbe goes outside, and all the chassidim are standing outside. They don't know what's going on. And then a little while later, a wagon arrives. He saw all this with his Ruach HaKodesh. A wagon arrives. And she's there in the wagon, Rivka, with her parents. And all the chassidim are standing there, and she looks out, and she screams out, "Mendel!" And the chassidim go, "Mendel? It's a beautiful young woman, you understand? Mendel." And the parents say, "Oh, it's Taki him. It's him." And he says, "Rivka..." And he says, "What is it?" She says, "Come out." And she couldn't walk, and her parents were carrying her out. She couldn't walk. And he said, "What happened to you?" And she said, "Mendel, I became so sick over the years." And she said, "You remember me?" And he said, "Don't you remember the last time that we said to each other, I would remember you, you would remember me? Because wherever I went and I came to that place, nobody else took me, only you took care of me. I never forgot you. And he said to the parents, bring her into this medrash. The parents are carrying her into this medrash. And the Rebbe told him to bring out the Torah table with the chairs. And the Rebbe said, you remember that when we were much younger, how you would serve me? I would like you to do that again. The Rebbe Mendel Vision just sat down on the little chair by this table. And she was sitting on the floor. She couldn't move and everybody was crying. And he said, remember, a promise is a promise. I remember you, you remember me. I haven't forgotten you. Now get up. And Chassidim say that she stood up for the first time in so many years and she was able to bring him. They made a big rikud, a big simcha there, this medrash. That's the story of Hashem is Baruch and Am Yisrael. That's the story of Chanukah. That we haven't forgotten him. We haven't forgotten him. And he hasn't forgotten us. And because of that, that tea party is going to be very, very soon. We should be zoich to see it.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.